Good evening. It's good to be here in God's house. We're glad that all of you came back, and we're thrilled to be able to spend a few moments here worshiping in the house of God with you. And we have had a good day in the Lord. We certainly have. We'll be in John chapter 15 when we get started. I did forget to mention this. Brother Tom McNutt is in the hospital at ORMC. He had surgery. He removed 3/4-inch stones out of the stomach. And he should be out of intensive care. He was actually going to move him out yesterday or this morning. So he's out of intensive care. So be in prayer for him. He'll be headed back. Yes, ma'am. Strong prayer for Brother McNutt. We went by and saw him yesterday. And actually, he looked better yesterday than I've seen him in about 7-8 months when we saw him. So, matter of 24 hours, things went downhill. So, y'all be in prayer for him. So, he's probably still in intensive care then. And be in prayer for his daughters. They drove down to be with him. And we lost two of the ladies who used to come to our residence meeting at the nursing home this past month. That's been quite a few this year. We need prayer for them. I don't know if they was part of that club that the ladies has. Was those part of it? They weren't in the club. But they've that's been several this year that was very faithful to come to the meeting that we hold over there once a month. So be in prayer for them. And then on the 16th of February, I know it's a little bit out there, but on the 16th of February, after the morning service over at Eastern Avenue, they're going to hold a meal and lunching for Brother Lance Carpenter. And then they'll have a service following the meal to honor him. Brother Carpenter's not doing too well. He's has been diagnosed with dementia, and it's... They want to honor him while he still has some capability of understanding. So that's February 16th. And so you're welcome. If you didn't know him, you missed out on a real jewel for the Lord. But you that did know him, you know, after church is over, head down that way and be with him. And Joe, I don't know if you'll get there in time enough to eat, but you may, but they'll have a service also in the middle of the afternoon for him. Have some pictures and stuff they'll be showing. That's February 16th at Eastern Avenue in St. Cloud. It's on 10th Street. I don't know the exact address, but it's on 10th Street, further down near Narcoosie Road. So if you know where that's at, it's down that way. But we'll get more information as it gets closer. Keep reminding you of that. There, and what else? Something else was on my mind I wanted to mention, but that's okay. Oh, thank you for turning out Dairy Queen today. It was a big crowd there, came and promoted that this morning, and it went well, and we had a good turnout, and the manager spoke very highly of the group that came, said that he was glad to have a large group that was not disruptive and stuff like that. So what a testimony that is. And it's good in the community to have such a testimony. And he's also going to get us some coupon books coming up in the near future that we can sell for $5 each. And we keep the entire proceeds, but it has $30 worth of coupons in the book. So for every book that we sell for $5, they don't even want it back. And it goes all to the fundraiser. The bills in the midst of working all that out there. Now, we started a series a couple of weeks ago about outreach, and we looked at the need for it and the reasoning behind it. And now we've been looking at how to do it, how to actually reach out in our community. And the first thing we looked at was that we were
or have been and are enabled to share the gospel, not by our power, but because we have experienced the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's something we know firsthand. And so when you know something firsthand, you can give a good account of it, of what happened. You were came to realization that you were a sinner before a holy and righteous God, that you had fallen short of His glory. And you put your faith and trust in Him, repenting and asking God to save your soul, believing on the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He made you His child. And it's simple as that. I know it sounds too good to be true. And you're right. We don't deserve it. When you think about the gospel, it's deeper than just what I went over. But it is as simple as that. Imagine, come join by with the faith of a child, and He makes you an eternal heir and co-heir, joint heir with Christ Jesus. Boy, it's amazing. And so we've been enabled to share the gospel. And then last week, we looked at gaining a hearing for the gospel. And today, we're going to talk about rejection. Rejection of that hearing. It's going to happen. How do you handle it? Some people, it knocks them right out of the saddle. I mean, and I'm going to tell you this, to be honest with you, the devil's not going to wait till you've been at it for 12 years sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've been at it. You've done work through the fear. It's going to hit you early. It's going to hit you hard early. There, John 15. So we're going to look and see what to do, how to handle rejection of the message. We realize we've been enabled. We've got a hearing. How did we gain that hearing? By kind acts, by building relationships, by having friendships with lost people. Jesus was a friend of sinners. Now, got to be careful. Sometimes we want to have all of our friendships with lost people. We need to have friendships for a purpose. Lost people need a friend. We have a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Need to invite lost people to come out and do things with us, with the purpose of showing them how much God loves them. And you can do it very easily without ever having to pull the Bible out and lay it out on the dashboard of your car, on the trunk of your car, or in their house. It'll come around. Well, they'll want to know. If you're real, you're genuine, that opportunity will come there. So how do you do it? John 15 and verse 18. John chapter 15 and verse number 18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now listen, it's going to happen. This is the Lord Jesus Christ telling us that rejection and persecution is going to come. So how do we handle that? How do we handle that? Well, turn over to Acts chapter 4 as we contemplate some ways and things to do. Now, we could look at the life story of foreign missionaries. There have been quoted and notable and recorded records where missionaries on foreign fields had been persecuted to no end, abused, slapped around, simply for passing out gospel literature, for sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can look at those life events, life stories, life experiences. I'll give you one that is personal, one that happened to me in Greece. And we were out passing out tracts, and it was a customary daily routine going about sharing the gospel and trying to get somebody to just listen to you. And it's just a daily thing. You just have to stay at it. And there was what they'd call a plateau, a park. We would call it a park. And it had trails in there, benches, and people would be sitting on the benches there just relaxing, enjoying the outdoors, and it was just an opportune place. They were sitting still, wasn't a lot of people around. And I went through there, and I passed out some tracts, and made my way. I came to this one gentleman, and I passed him out a gospel tract, and he began to talk real ugly to me. And I guess he thought I would talk ugly back to him. Now, I did not. I just told him I appreciated his time. If he did not want the literature, give it back, and I'd go on about my way. He continued to call me a dumb, stupid American, that we had no idea about religion. The Apostle Paul walked in Greece, planted churches in Greece, and what did I think I needed? What did I think I could accomplish by coming there and trying to distort and destroy the Greek Orthodox Church? And I just was kind with him, and I just started walking away. I said, you know, have a good day, sir. And he started calling to other ones in the plateau, in the square, to come over. He wanted a crowd. And began to follow me. And he'd spit on the back of my neck and back of my head and follow me. And as I kept walking, and I just did not pay it any mind, he did not get anybody else to join in with him. He looked like the moron. I looked like somebody being abused. And they're like, this guy's like a wacko. I mean, if you don't want it, leave. But he couldn't get anybody to jump in. Now, if he could have got one person, you know what happens? Another one joins. Another one joins. What would have happened if I'd have argued back? He would have got some help. I went on through the park. He finally quit because he couldn't get nobody. And wiped spit all off my back and my neck. And when I come back through the park, Brother Carl, he was sitting there reading that gospel tract. What's going to happen? We can read stories like that. Now, that's on the foreign field. I have not ever experienced that here in America. The ugliest conversation that I've had since I've been in Florida came from a law enforcement officer over here in Beacon Park. Just so happened, as I was going up to the door, we were out knocking doors and passing out tracts. I was going up to the door as he was coming out the door, and he said, "Don't you ever come in my yard again. I don't want that stuff on my door, and I don't want you passing it out in my neighborhood." "Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time. Have a good evening." And I walked away. He's a law enforcement officer. He knew he could not tell me not to pass it out in the neighborhood. There's no law against it. His house, I won't listen to him. I mean, it's his house. He pays the rent there. He's the one that owns the property. So I just left and went about my... That was the ugliest conversation that I've ever had with anybody at all in this, over the 5 years we've been here in Florida. So I haven't had a lot of experience here. I've had some doors shut in my life. I've had, you know, things like that, but nothing serious. Nothing serious at all. So how do you handle rejection? You know, it's good to read stories like the Martyr Mirror and Fox's Book of Martyr. Read these books and look at them and see real persecution. Get radio stations. I think the FBN, they do a daily talk on the radio about persecuted Christians around the world. You know, there's people, you know, that are jailed and they're really persecuted. If you're caught there, the lightest thing that could happen to you be deported. If you're an American, the worst is, you know, jailed or or even your life taken in some. There's many countries around the world where missionary work is totally banned. So what I'm saying is we here in America do not have the sort of persecution like there is around the world yet. Could it happen? Sure, it could happen. So how do we, because those really don't help us. I mean, reading a story about the faith of men and women who were burned at the stake is tremendous. But we're not facing that here. We're facing, don't solicitation, get off my property, I'm going to sit my dog on you, I don't want your religion crammed down my throat. That's the kind of stuff we're facing. So how do we handle it? Well, you can get those experiences through different magazines and articles, but I tell you this, this is the best thing that helps me. Now, whether it helps you or not, this helps me. Spending time with my Savior. The more time I spend with Him, the more I understand that it's not about me being rejected. It's about Him. When I read verses like what we just read in John chapter 15, where He tells us openly and candid that, hey, the world hated me before they hated you. Don't be surprised that this is going to happen. So, what do we need to do? Spend time with Him. And as we spend time with Him, we will gain boldness. We'll be able to handle rejection. We'll be able to understand real rejection. He went to His own received Him not. They hung Him on a cross. Paul said, if you knew what you were doing, you would not have even done it. Acts chapter 4. Did you think about this past week somebody that needs some kind of kind act done? You've been praying about it? Praying and seeking God's face? Have you actually begun to put into plan those kind acts? We've got to. We've got to be proactive at this. We've got to purpose in our hearts to do so. Purpose. Somebody can speak 10,000 words of adoration, but it never, ever overtake a kind act. Intentions are good, but the actions far outweigh good intentions. So if we're going to make a difference, church, we're going to have to purpose in our heart. Lord, I've been enabled. Lord, here's how You teach us and have taught us to get someone to listen. Now, Lord, when I get rejected, give me boldness to accept the rejection. In verse number 1, of Acts chapter number 4, the Bible says there, as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple, the Sadducees, came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. What was the problem here? Why were they grieved? Why were they disturbed? Number one, the reason they were, there was a doctrinal difference. You see, the Sadducees had rejected the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are some people going to be grieved when you talk to them? Doctrinal differences. Doctrinal differences. That's why we have to be careful that they're not rejecting our approach to correct their doctrine. That they're rejecting the message of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, of all mankind. If you put faith and trust in Him, He will save you. But you know what we do sometimes? Oh, I'm from the First Pentecostal, and then we get on guard. We want to correct them on tongues. We want to correct their charismatic doctrine, and we end up arguing with them over tongues. speaking in unknown tongues. Now, there's a time and a place for it. But if we argue with them over that issue without being able to present Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and give them opportunity to see what the Bible says. You see, as I was growing up, I was raised in the charismatic movement. Nobody ever took the Word of God and showed me the gospel from the Word of God. Nobody. I was taught and presented and told that I had to have the evidence of salvation, which the evidence, according to their doctrine and their teaching, was the speaking in an unknown tongue. But Jim, somebody took the Bible and showed me. I said, well, Lord, I've never seen that before. That Jesus Christ died on the cross. He was buried. He rose again. And if I believe in that, I shall be saved. There was a problem here. The apostles had approached and began to teach and to preach and had gained a hearing. But there was a group that was upset. There were some doctrinal problems. More than that, there was a practical problem. The practical problem was that they were threatened by a competing faith. We get it all the time, don't we? We think we're competing with other churches, other denominations. Periodicals put it out. The Baptists have so many, the Catholics have so many, the Episcopalians have so many, and church membership is this and that, and we're competing. Well, our competition is aimed at the wrong way. Paul said if Christ is preached in contention, he was happy. You know? I'm not thrilled that there is churches out there that are messed up. I'm not thrilled that there's Baptist churches that are messed up. But they are. But I am thrilled that if they would just preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Holy Ghost of God can get in and kind of correct things like He did at the church at Corinth. So there was a doctrinal issue that grieved them. There was a practical, uh-oh, here comes those Christians. They're going to overtake Judaism. That's why we have to be very careful that when we approach somebody, we have a hearing that they understand that we're more important of them going to heaven. We're more thrilled about them going to heaven than ever becoming a member of our church. Because God fitly frames the church together. Not everybody that we see saved is going to be led to join our church. In Acts, you see that there was many that, I think Acts chapter 5, if I remember correctly, said many were added to the Lord, but durst not join themselves to the church. That's what the Scripture says. So there was a doctrinal problem that grieved the Sadducees. There's a practical problem, and then there was ultimately, who's going to be the religious leaders? The apostles or the Sadducees? It's got to be all about Christ. Well, who runs y'all's church over there? The Lord Jesus Christ. That's who runs it. He's the head. He's the head of the church. Well, who's in charge of everything over there? We're following Christ. The pattern that's sitting down in the book. Oh, there were some angry people stirred up here because of doctrine, because of the practical issue. You know, to be quite honest with you, Grandma Susie's not going to be happy if you reach somebody with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and they've been a Presbyterian, Episcopalian, or whatever all their life, and they decide that they want to join a Baptist church. They're not going to be happy. Not happy at all. So there's going to be some problems. There's going to be some upset people. Why do some people respond this way to the gospel today? Same problems. same problem. Doctrinal, practical reasons. Then there's that leadership. Religious leaders putting themselves above the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Verses 3 through 7. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day. I'd say this was rejection, wouldn't you? For it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them were, which heard the word believed. And the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Ananias the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" Was arrested, spent the night in jail, brought up on charges. Why? Simply presenting the gospel message. Well, whose power? You know, sometimes we present, and I'm not ashamed to be a Baptist, I'm Baptist head to toe. If there's anything close to the doctrines of the Bible, I'd be that. But as far as I look and search and study the Scriptures, the Baptists are the closest in doctrine to the New Testament church. So I'm not ashamed of it, but I'm telling you this, that when we're out talking to people about their souls, it's not the Baptist church that died for them. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need them to reject the Baptist church. We need to present them with an opportunity to accept or reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, whose power? Whose authority? Well, I'm out here because I'm a Baptist and I want to do what Baptists do. Well, not all Baptists do what we do. Verses 8 through 12. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, there's the enabler. The enabler, the Holy Ghost. Ye rulers of people, the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done unto the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and all to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. What was their response? By what power? Well, our preacher has set it up that we have soul winning visitation the first and third Thursday, second, fourth Saturday. And so that's the power we're going because he said we need to do it. Well, no. We're out here because the Lord Jesus Christ loves you. And he died on the cross of Calvary, whom ye crucified. That's what he told them. You see the response there? They preached Jesus and called them to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Sir, ma'am, we're not here to try to make you Baptists. And by the way, that Baptist doesn't save you, because if that was the case, we'd just hold a cage match arena and get everybody in the whole county to come watch the cage match, and then we'll just pour a whole bunch of water on them, baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and they'd be all Christians. Doesn't work like that, does it? You can't force somebody to become. You present them. They're already in jail. They have been, the message has been rejected. What was the response? Continue presenting the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. By remaining faithful to the message and proclaiming Christ, that's what we got to do. What are you doing around here? Why are you in my neighborhood? We don't need Bible thumpers like you. What do? You stay in. You're not looking for the one that will reject. We're looking and fishing for the one that will accept. We've got to be wise to serve and harvest the dove. We've got to realize, hey, this conversation is going absolutely nowhere. Thank you very much for your time. I'm really sorry to trouble you. You have a good day and move on. But if we're not careful, I dare them. I know my Bible front and back, and I'm going to show them. I'll convince them. Have you ever heard a man convinced against his will is still yet unconvinced? Hold a man at knife point, gun point, say, listen, you're going to do this because I said so. He might do it while you're doing that, but when it's all said and done, he's not going to do it when you leave. What was the response here? They just continue to present the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. What happens when you continue in faithfulness? And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that there were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled and took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. How do you handle rejection? Stay faithful. They'll notice. Your mannerisms, how you handle the rejection, how you stay with the point of the matter, how you always show them that you're only concerned with their soul. And what happens? They marvel. And took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Verse 19 and 20. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. I'm sorry you don't accept it. I'm sorry that you want me to stop. But I can only do and say that which I heard. Stay faithful. Stay faithful. When they reject you, don't take it personal. Don't take it to when they're rejecting me and they're wanting me to listen. Verse 23, the Bible says there, and being let go. Oh, how did they get let go? God works it out. God works it out. Listen, church, I know this is an extreme example. I don't know anybody here that's gone to jail and they've let you out. Well, maybe once in jail, but it wasn't for preaching the gospel. I don't know all that. But nobody here I know of that has gone to jail for preaching the gospel, for sharing the message of Christ with their neighbor. But I'm going to tell you, if it all happens, God will work it out. There's too many examples in the Bible where he has and has done it. There's too many examples in life that we can go through and see that God does provide, even in our own life, and he does work it out. Think about laying your head on top of a lion at night. God worked it out. Why? He just stayed faithful. What was he faithful at? As his manner was, he opened the window and he began to pray. Well, what happened? They told him he couldn't pray no more. What was important here? Doing what God said. What's important about this passage? Doing what God says to do. Verse 24, and when they heard that, they lifted up their voice. Who? When the church heard that they had been let go, now the church is excited. You know, when somebody trusts the Lord Jesus Christ, their personal Lord and Savior, or somebody sees you witness or tell somebody about the Lord Jesus, it makes them excited. Now they're excited. The church heard it. Now they're excited. What happened? They prayed and the Lord gave boldness. Look at verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken. where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. What happens when you handle rejection properly? The next opportunity you get, you are emboldened. You are emboldened. You get stronger in your faith. You get stronger in your faith. It gets easier to present Jesus Christ. Church, listen, if it was easy, every Christian in the world would be doing what I'm talking about. Everyone's been commanded. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We've been commanded. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and uttermost parts of the earth. We've been commanded. You shall be. You're going to do that. Why not? Because the first time we're rejected, if we do not stay firm in the saddle, stand. When you've done all to stand there for it. What happens? You shy away. No confidence. What did Paul say? I am confident in whom I believe. Confidence. You're involved. You get strength through working through that. What do we have to do? Listen, we can give up and we can shut up, or we can pray up and speak up. What's going to help our neighbor? What's going to help our friend? If we... Bradley showed me something the other day. Hurricane the one said, I don't know, something, like, be quiet. I don't know which one of my Sunday school teachers taught them that, but we can be quiet, but it's not going to help. What's going to help? For us to be kind and bold at presenting Christ. Jesus is the hope of the world, church. Nothing else has helped me but the Lord. But the Lord. So, we've been enabled. We're learning how to gain a hearing. Preacher, that's kind of sad. We're going to be rejected. Yeah. It's going to happen. What we're going to do? Stay faithful. Continue in that which we have learned. And then what's going to happen? The Lord's going to work. The Lord's going to change people's hearts and minds. He's going to allow them to see their need for a Savior. And you're going to be added to your account some fruit. Because you planted or you watered, and God brought the increase. Let's stand to our feet, church.